set up of the boardroom. They said they were finished. This is the only thing that they could offer us. But anyway, we have to do work. I'd like to make you aware that as you see this gentleman busy with this, he's recording because you can see there are no mics. So when he comes to you with his little token, don't be surprised because this is our audit. He's a gentleman from KPMG. On front of us members, and there's an agenda. I hope every member has got an agenda. As you all see the agenda in front of you, I'd like members to move for the adoption of the agenda in front of us. Okay. Honorable Moshwana moves. Any second? And Honorable Lockhart seconds the agenda. The first item member is welcoming and introduction. I once again now formally welcome you to this meeting of the Portfolio Committee, where the Nelson Mandela Museum will be giving us a presentation. And last week we met them and they could not give us what we wanted, and they did not give us the documents that we required. And then we were lenient enough to say we are giving them a week to give us what we want. We were not militant, but we have got rules that we follow. There's a natural parliament that we follow, and we must follow those rules. We're also doing our job. It was not to humiliate anyone. We must get what is correct. We've also asked the department to be here on the basis that there are some issues that we need to iron out even after we meet the Nelson Mandela. We picked up a few issues after we met the two entities last week. So we thought after this meeting, after our deliberations, the SDG and the DDG, Cultural Heritage, are here, so we can iron out a few issues, because some clumsiness exposes the department. So that's why we really ask that one of senior management will be here. But I see the commander himself is there, so which is very good, and welcome you. Members, what we'll do is a usual routine. We'll introduce ourselves so that we can know who is talking to whom. I will start with the members. Maybe if you give me the permission, I will just do it and introduce all of you. I am Thandile Babalo Sunduza. I am a member of the ANC. I'm the chairperson of this portfolio committee. On my left, it's Honorable Story. We call her Ma Story. She's a member of the ANC. She is a veteran who is very well resourced, so I'm very fortunate to have her in my committee. Next to her is Mamu Ulishiva. She's a member of the ANC. I'm going to like this. Members, can we just set it down? Once again, welcome to the three members who just walked in. We were already on the agenda. I was doing introduction. I think on my beautiful mama there is Honorable Lishiva. She's a member of the ANC. She's a member of this committee. Next to her is Wosi Mwamita Shilubana. She's a member of the ANC, she's a member of this committee. Next to her is Honorable Mtweli. She's from the Inkatha Freedom Party, Inkatha Nkululeko yesizwe. She's a member of this committee. Next to her is Honorable Moss. She's a member of this committee. She's a whip of this committee. Next to her is Honorable Mushwana. She's a member of this committee. She's a member of the ANC. Next to her is Honorable Mabunda. He is a member of the ANC. He's a member of this committee. Next to her is a beautiful Honorable Lottery. She's a member of this committee. She's a member of the Democratic Alliance. Next to me here, the gentleman who can speak African languages, so don't gossip next to him, is Honorable Smale. He's a member of the Democratic Alliance and a member of this committee. The gentleman who's pouring tea over there is Honorable Khwarai. He's a member of this committee. He's a member of the ANC. Thank you. I've introduced members. Gigi, can you introduce your can you introduce your committee, your members that you've brought here?
Honorable members, my name is Veli Swabaduza. I'm the Acting Director General of the Department of Arts and Culture. On my left, I've got Uvusi Themba Ndima. He's the Acting Deputy Director General for Heritage Promotion. On my right, I've got Ukwezi Mbumlwana. He's the Chief Executive Officer at the Nelson Mandela Museum. Behind you there, Chairperson, I've got Usen Mahatame, the beautiful chef. He is the parliamentary officer in the office of the minister. Next to him is Kawe Kazi, who is in the office of the deputy minister. And next to Kawe Kazi, there is Phumzile Smele, who is also the director in the office of the deputy minister. Behind me, on the far, Evan Langefeld, he's the director in heritage promotion. In case I don't remember the names, I would, with your permission, Chairperson, I would ask Ukwezi to introduce this table.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members. The team that we are coming as from the Nelson Mandela Museum include myself, and on my right next to Mr. Langefeld is Mr. Solani Noel. He is responsible for public programming and heritage. So many times on questions relating to conservation and heritage and collections, we will help. And next to him is Ms. Phumeza Mandela. She is in charge of education and outreach. So many times in terms of questions of which schools, which audiences were reached and what they have achieved, we are assisting us. And directly behind me is Mr. Mpuneko Mdudu, the Chief Financial Officer. And on financial matters, it will be assisting us along with Mrs. Mashalaba Nokuzola, who is the accountant. They work together in the finance department. And then on my right is Mr. David Mukamelo. He is responsible for human resources. And at the end is Ms. Nokuzola Chetani. She's responsible for marketing and communication. So sometimes we have media issues. Last year we had the exhibition that was here in Parliament. She was the program manager for getting those kinds of things happening. And behind the computer, who's assisting us now with moving the slides, is Mr. Kibone Modisa Kakadi. He's responsible for security and for facility management at the museum. Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Honorable Member, as you all recall, last week, as I said, the museum was here to
just help you as these people will move it for you. You must remind me.
The Nelson Mandela Museum was here, and you know the story, that they could not give us what we wanted, and we had to just ask them to do their homework and come back this week again. They are back here. I believe honorable members have read the document, and are here to present the document, and I must say I saw some improvement. What also CEO was making us to ensure that you go back and do your homework. This museum is named, it's a name of our icon, Ubabu Mandela. So anything that is just negative or anything that does not reflect his credibility, then we have a serious problem. It will impact negatively on anything. And anything that is Mandela on, you know what is what implications are there. So members will allow the CEO to present, will listen, take notes, and after that we will ask questions. CEO, you are allowed to, if you can't answer, I think you've got a big team of about 7 people here, each one has got his own responsibility, they would answer. Acting DG and your team, if there are issues that you feel that the department must intervene or clarify what members will be asking, you are also welcome to, but don't defend the museum. If you have to expose them, they don't give us a report, the truth must come out here. Okay, because we've done our intelligence exercise as well. Okay, see all your flowing.
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much for this opportunity. To be given a chance to correct the things that needed to be corrected, and we absolutely value the guidance and the sharpness with which we are helped in the right direction. So thank you very much. I will try not to repeat everything that we had said the last time. I will fly through it. I know that some members are not there, but they have read the judgment. And again, I apologize. We couldn't do it the following day or as fast as we could. We were grappling to get it as best as we could. So I'll briefly talk about the museum and its annual report, and then zoom in into the issues that were raised by the Auditor General in pages 35 and 36, and the actions we are taking about that and the way forward. And then my colleagues would assist in relation to their respective portfolios. There's something about our conduct details. We are in Mthatha. We are the Nelson Mandela Museum. We are located in Mthatha. We were originally declared in the Punga building, in Kunu, and the Annamvel. And we are in the Hoar Tambo district within the King Sabata Talinjebo local municipality. The way we understand it, was established partly because the Constitution requires government to promote or to recognize injustices of the past and honor those who sacrificed for freedom and bring people together. And the direct act that establishes us is the Cultural Institutions Act. As much as we obey and have to obey all the laws, the National Heritage Resources Act is another very important act that relates to how we manage our work, our collections, and our site. And to the extent that we work with public money and we're a public entity, Schedule 3A, we are governed by the Public Finance Management Act. And as Honorable Chairperson was saying, much is expected from us, because South African people and government, when President Mandela retired, chose to establish this institution to officially remember and tell the story of his life and work in context. And we're a declared institution in terms of the acts that I described earlier on. some of our sister institutions, in addition to all the 26 institutions of the Department of Arts and Culture, and a group of what was then known as the Legacy Project, like the Machel Memorial, like the Norman Museum, like Constitution Hill, like Freedom Park and Robben Island, and a number of others. And we try and work in the public benefit. Our core area is culture, heritage, education, research, tourism, and contributing to socioeconomic development mainly. And this is very important because sometimes we are asked, what difference did you make? And sometimes it's expected to be always expressed in purely economic terms. So this is why we make this emphasis, and it also contributes with the core business of why we were established at that time. We fall under the Department of Arts and Culture, so the Minister of Arts and Culture appoints a council, non-executive director, who oversees a strategy and policy institution, and they're usually appointed on 3-year terms. They appoint the CEO and management. The management then develops and proposes the strategy for their approval, and as they choose, the approved one. We account to the minister mainly, or firstly, quarterly, and whenever, and treasury. And then a lot of the time, parliament annually through the annual report, and when we are called, like now. And we interface with many different stakeholders, and we believe we are accountable to them as well. We talk about the vision of a living museum that represents and interprets the life story and values of Mr. Mandela, who is a product and champion of Ubuntu. I won't read our mission in detail, but our council developed it in such a way that it identifies four core areas of what we do: collecting, link of cultural life, and the legacy theatre, and the promoter of sustainable community development and partnership. Values, they are up there. Because I'm rushing to get to the audit issues. The major priorities of the work we were doing is about renewing the museum's content and quality of what we offer. It's about building and mobilizing resources to increase organizational capacity so that we can offer better services, we can improve our governance and other things. And then we're to improve the museum's public profile and the way in which people can access it, both at Mkata, but also in other provinces. This is one of the issues that were raised in one of our previous visits to the portfolio committee. And to increase the footprint of where people can experience the museum. And sometimes change and improve the public perception by the things we do, so that we give information that doesn't need to be sent back at a practical level. But also, in terms of how people experience the visit to the museum when they come, and in telling the story of the things that we get to do right when we do, and improving on the things we get corrected on. Then we're supposed to also improve infrastructure, security and facilities. Security is very important to our museum because our collection is made up of the gifts and awards that were given to former President Mandela when he was in office, in addition to all the other things that he would collect that are related to his work. So security has been always at a premium for us. So but those are the four priorities. Now, when one reads through the annual report, it's been organized largely according to program by program. But all those programs combined are trying to achieve these four major priorities, and our budget has been used largely to fulfill those things.
Thank you. Now, I've mentioned four priorities. What we have in front of us can really break down the first priority about what it meant for us, building and renewal of the of content and quality offering. And one of the big issues has been the Nelson Mandela Research Library, because as much as we have the collection of the gifts, people now and later want to understand deeper about who this is and what was the work he was doing and what are the things that influenced him and who is he working with. So the opportunity to have a good quality research reference library was identified by our council, and this has started to be implemented. Research program is in place to identify, because when these things were collected, they were not collected for exhibiting at the museum. They were gifts to the most loved president. And they were not collected in a way that has to do with the museum data. And so a lot of that has to be now reassembled. Who gave this? What was it for? And when was it given? So now there's a research program going into that in detail. The new exhibitions have had to be put in place. And my colleague will talk about where and what some of them are. The most significant one, the one relates to Mr. Mandela's story as a leader, as a freedom fighter. And they are exhibited in a few provinces. One was at Apartheid Museum, another one at Bunga Bindi in Mthatha, another one of Mandela Luthuli, and a few others. In terms of improving. Okay. We've also transitioned into having guided and self-guided tours in place. So we've moved away from a situation where every tour was a guided tour. So someone else will talk about the human resource limitations that we were facing. And in our situation, just complaining about that was not an option. We had to train up some of the people who had been appointed as tour guides so that they diversify into some of the other specializations where we did not have. It took some time. And then at the same time, recognizing that there's going to be a decline in the number of guides available, develop the exhibitions in such a way that people can take themselves around, and then where arranged, we can have guided tours. And in this program of building and renewal, we saw ourselves getting to a point where our school accommodation is graded now and has a well-equipped conference center, grading through the Tourism Grading Council and through AA. And then we put in place diverse public programs, and Ms. Mandela can talk about some of them when the time comes. Improving organizational capacity. One of the most important things was to get our audit report right, because they are one of the major independent expressions of opinion about what is the state of affairs in a place and the use of public resources. We had had a situation where we had two consecutive disclaimers for the first time, which was very bad, and we have had to answer for that, and we're also very worried about it. We managed to move from that into a clean audit. And again, we now, also this one was the second clean audit after those disclaimers, which we're happy about. But obviously, we're still concerned because there were emphasis of matter. The AG does say that this does not modify their opinion, but they raise very important matters that they are concerned with and that also worry us. One of them is regular expenditure. Other ones we relate to the irregular expenditure, it's issues of alignment between performance planning and budgeting. And then other ones relate to segregation of duties and compliance. We'll come to that when we talk to the audit report, but I thought I must just highlight it at this point. The other part of improving organizational capacity is to improve the visitor experience. Now, how we measure this, we put visitor book next to each exhibition at the museum and where we have traveling exhibition. And we don't monitor what a person writes. And the guys are not, okay, people are happy, or people are worried that there are no videos, or people are worried about language, or people are worried that they don't have images of Mr. Mandela going back far enough, or that kind of thing. And then it informs us in terms of our long-term planning. Then there was the issue of accelerated staff development and an ongoing program. In the main report, we talk about our submission of the workplace skills plan, and we explain some of the trainings that people did. Human capacity is still a problem for us. As much as we need 42 positions to be filled, we've been going along with about 22, including interns. And this is not a case of funded unfilled positions. There was a difficult situation in when we were established, and we talked to a discussion that we raised elsewhere about the funding formula in general, because we're part of the legacy project that start with a small budget to appoint a CEO and a team who must then develop a strategy and a business plan, which must show how all the different functions of that museum must then unfold. But what often tended to happen was that this would then grow incrementally based on the first amount, not in relation to the business plan always. And so this results in a situation where once you have defined what the whole team will require, there's not always enough money to fill all of that. And then sometimes the issue of council, the governing boards, who are the ultimate decision makers within the organization, when they are delayed, it sometimes impacts the organizational capacity. Accessibility, footprint, and public perception is basically that people not just in the Eastern Cape or Mthatha must be able to experience the Nelson Mandela Museum. And certain steps were taken to ensure that this happened. One of them, obviously, which we're very proud and happy about, was the opportunity to be presented here in Parliament with the exhibition that was outdoors, and also at Drakenstein Correctional and Facility as part of celebrating Mr. Mandela's 20th anniversary of release. And a number of other places in Mossel Bay, later on in the Northwest, in the 15th and so on. And some of these were after the financial end, but the preparation was done during that period. This got us a lot of positive news coverage, but it also got many people who weren't able to get to Mthatha to experience a bit of what the museum has got to offer. However, some people who may have been monitoring the news would notice that there's been an embargo issue that is still not resolved. And our board that was in place at the time took a view that it's not a matter we should try and discuss in the public media. We need to give our principals an opportunity to resolve it adequately, so that when it is done, things are not... We don't complicate things by saying inappropriate stuff, things, or running ahead of our principles. It's taken a bit longer than we have anticipated, but we earnestly trust that it will be resolved. Facilities management, new security and cleaning company was appointed in that period under review. Another big thing was about improving the fence, the security in Kulu, and partially upgrading the collection, where we store the gifts and awards of Mr. Mandela, putting in place a better fireproof system and better storage system and an acid-free kind of paper. There was, however, a delay with the Bunga upgrade, which is now getting back on course, because we know for a fact that in the new financial year, the Bunga upgrade will finally take off. The Bunga upgrade is the renovation of the main building that we operate from in Mutara. I hope one day, if honorable members on some of the outreach visits or oversight visits, we might have the opportunity to show what we're talking about. And this would allow a building that was not originally built as a museum to be renovated into a situation where it can fulfill the functions of a museum, climate control, and have better security and better access to persons with disability, and be refitted for public programming. What we do, although governed by a non-executive council of independent directors appointed the minister, by the minister, as I said, our management team is full-time, and I've talked about the connection of Kiev. We're supposed to conserve these, interpret and present them for public benefit in the context of the story of Mr. Mandela's life and work. We're supposed to offer education programs, and we do it, research, education, community exhibitions and outreach. We're supposed to promote social cohesion, national unity, and the spirit of patriotism may still contribute to economic development through tourism and other initiatives. Keep moving. Okay, we offer free entry to what we believe is a quality cultural experience. We say this also because many of our visitors say so in the visitor center. And also in relation to the context of what else is available in the region where we are located. We offer exhibitions, which is the main way in where we organize the pictures and the story of Mr. Mandela is condensed, according to some things. And then the outreach program, tours, and it's one of the entry points into the National Liberation Heritage Route. Because Mr. Mandela always talked about the fact that he was not alone. He was part of a collective, and he has been influenced by many people. And so, part of what our board had the privilege to do a number of years ago was to develop the idea that there needs to be a route that connects different places that have to do with place, with people and events and institutions. Sometimes places of negotiation, sometimes places where leaders from who contributed to the kind of whatever they have come from, sometimes places of war or whatever, are grouped together in some way. Now, I had the president announce this would be now one of the programs of government, and I'm very excited about it. I look forward to understand how it is conceptualized and participate appropriately. It's also a place where we try and preserve and interpret an authentic landscape of Mr. Mandela's childhood. Can you move? We had planned to get to improve organizational capacity, have better governance, and a more qualified audit. We did get, but we have these important things that had to be addressed. We had planned to have a better national footprint. We believe we have attained. We had planned to have at least 3 exhibitions and improved heritage resource management. We had planned infrastructure renewal and security strengthening. Our security has been strengthened. The infrastructure renewal is not yet where we had hoped it would be. We had planned to have training and capacity building. We believe we've done. This just breaks down the things that I talked about. I'd like to explain the last line, ICMP, not complete. This is an integrated conservation management plan. And that one is not complete. And we hope that when we do that, we'll be doing, knowing whether the issue of that third site is resolved or not. Because it is also a site that does have potentially a lot of archaeological indications that we still operate on it. Can you go to the next page? Financial information. This is a summary of what is in the financial section of the annual report at a glance. And the audit opinion that was expressed was expressed in relation to those numbers and the work behind how they came to be like that. Therefore, will help us talk to them and what they mean when we come to it. Can you go to the next page? Again, within summary, a restating of what we saw in the previous frame, showing a comparison between 2009 and 2010 financial years in relation to each of those areas. And I know one of the issues that we need to draw attention to is the issue of the reserve. A lot of them relate to project funds and projects whose implementation have conditionalities. The one thing has to precede the other, and probably we need to talk about that if and when it is asked. And our CFO is ready with that, and we will also ask this. Can we go to the next slide, please? There we summarize the journey of the financial journey of the museum in the world. But I want to quickly go to the audit report, I mean to the audit issue and our actions in relation to that. Because this explains the slide that we're looking at in graph. Keep moving. Keep moving again. Next slide. Next slide. Slowly stop. These figures were audited. And the conclusion of the auditor general was that the representation expresses fairly the state of affairs of the museum. And then they threw attention to matters of emphasis, which I would like to quickly go into. Next slide. The one issue Auditor General raised was that as much as we presented financial statements that they are happy with, the number of restatements and adjustments to the corresponding figures needs to reduce significantly in the future. And some of this had to do with things like interpretation of graph statements. No, don't just go back. I think it's what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just... The first one related to the restatement of corresponding figures. The second one related to irregular expenditure. The third one related to alignment between strategy and budget. Another one related to turnaround time for payment of service providers. But this must be done in 30 days because many businesses depend on the money that government pay them when they've done the service. Sometimes they're working on them. And then another one related to the need for the audit committee's work to have been reviewed by a council. And the last one related to the segregation of duties and the updating of the fraud prevention plan. So at a glance, those are the major issues that were raised in the audit report by the AG. Now, the restatement of corresponding figure for the financial year that we're talking about came by largely as a result of we had treated leases of equipment as operating leases instead of as financial leases. But to align better with GRAP 13, it is also a relative was. For us, a relatively new standard, because I think government moved over to GRAP in the past 3 years or so. There needed to be a reclassification, and some of this impacted how the figures are stated. So there is a note in the annual report to the financial statement. My colleague, the CFO, is also ready to clarify some of the things that may arise. This was restated right at that time. So by the time the audit was finished, it was no longer an issue, but they considered it important enough to emphasize it so that it does not recur. Can you go to the next slide, please? The other one related to irregular expenditure. Now, there are two broad categories for this irregular expenditure that we disclosed after discussions with the AG. The one group relates to transactions between 30,000 and 500,000, where even if there are three codes, or even if there are reasons why you use one supplier, we were supposed to then apply a point system. Because those transactions are below a 10, but we're supposed to apply a point system. And we did not do it. Now, the context in which this was happening is, we had just been through those other two difficult audits. We had introduced a new supply chain framework that is more aligned to the laws of the land. And a lot of attention was focused on the things that had been raised in the previous audit. And in hindsight, much to the exclusion of this particular item. And but now what has been done since then? If the financial controller has been given specific responsibility for procurement-related responsibilities, especially the implementation of a formula-driven template that allows us to implement the point system. So you give a different weight for whether this company is owned by persons with disabilities or by women or it's a local company and those kinds of things. But this is a number of different transactions. They cover a range of things. Some of them, you would have a company that sells advertising space on behalf of, let's say, Sawubona in-flight magazine. You do not have competition. Only that person is appointed to offer the kind of service. Sometimes it's issues to do with people who service a particular car. But at other times, it's not like that. It's a situation where we could have applied and we did not. And this audit opportunity gave us a chance to correct that going forward. Can you go to the next slide? So, just to mention, in almost all of the where applicable, three codes were found, and there was not an issue about whether this expenditure is relevant or not. But there was the important thing of to do apply this system of points, which is very important. Can you go to the next slide, please? Then the next group of transactions that we disclose as irregular after discussing with the AG relate to the issue of travel management, travel agents. Again, I think in the period under review, with a number of council meetings, more than the ordinary four that you would have, and a number of other travel issues and outreach. But the concern of the AG was that payments that exceed 500,000 need to have been handled either in terms of a tender or some rotation. And what we were doing, we're using, because we used to have two travel agents in Mthatha. The one withdrew and then closed down later. And so we're using the other remaining one throughout that period. And part of what we looked at the time, in retrospect and after the correction of the audit and other discussions we were doing, it was not the best approach. Well, they wait. Each invoice of the travel agent tells you, this is the fee to the agent, this is the fee to SAA, this is the fee to the hotel or guest house, this is the fee to the travel, to the car rental. So these transactions are below the
500,000 threshold. When they eventually got calculated, the total 380 million.
But that is not the right way to do it, because it's one amount or series of amounts through one agent. And so the agent raised a concern about it, and that's why it is closed as a region. What we then did subsequently was to invite service providers to submit their profiles so that we strengthen our database, our supplier database, to include more travel agents and all of that. But even when they did, we still needed to go to them and say, this information is not complete. Some of them, you have not given your tax clearance certificate. Some of them, you have not explained other information. And that's not, I mean, that's, I think, too long to resolve. But all discussions we have had point to the fact that even if we implement that, it's not going to be good enough. We need to move towards a full tender. And instead of trying to think we can rotate travel agents or try and buy direct from suppliers like airlines and all of that. So this is an area where we need a complete change of approach. And this is what we'll be implementing. So to go towards the full tender. But our initial solution was not to do that. It was to try and use different travel agents, which has not proven to be the best solution. Okay. Some of that information details what I have said. And we can come back possibly when Honorable Women are going on that. Then AG raised a concern about performance information. AG felt that in some instances there's not enough alignment between the goal and the activity and the budget amount. And the example that was used was the Nelson Mandela Research Library. And this had to do with us getting to improve how we write based on our strategic plan and our performance plan. We've revised a lot of these. It's a work in progress. We believe there's been some improvement. We're going to see what the new audit is going to say, but also we have had the benefit of benchmarking with other similar institutions. Can you go to the next slide, please? This slide talks about the AG making a finding or a concern in relation to the fact that the work of the audit committee ought to have been reviewed by council for the accounting authority. Now, in our situation, the audit committee is a committee of council. It includes members of council and external people. But the term of council ended before they could do that review. And so this was not in place. And when the new council is appointed, we would draw this matter to their attention as well, and it would be one of the areas of improvement. And then the issue of the delay in 30-day payment, where some service providers appear to have been paid later than 30 days, others are actually paid later than 30 days. Now, again, this had to do, what has been done to deal with this thing was to introduce a stamp system that whatever date is on the invoice, the date on which we receive it, we stamp it and we say it was received. Because what was happening in some of the transactions, an invoice would be dated earlier, but would have received later. But at other times, the date of invoice and date of receipt would be correct. But the issues that then need to be clarified around that specific transaction will sometimes take longer. And when this issue, because this issue had been an issue before, when the AG were raising it, we had just introduced the stamp system. So they felt it needed to come into the report so that it also does not recur. Otherwise, it's a situation that is largely corrected, except where there are reasons why a specific transaction has to be delayed by getting additional information. Next slide, please.
Next slide. Okay. Leadership.
AG felt that the number and type of non-compliance with supply chain should have been picked up earlier. And this points to internal control deficiencies in the system, which need to be improved. And one of them is the issue of a separate supply chain management office, or better segregation activities in relation to this particular matter. And as I've mentioned, one of the things we've done now is to make the financial controller responsible for some of the supply chain issues. And parallel to that, we had previously made an application for certain special positions that we thought impact many things and can have long-term audit queries, like supply chain, like IT, like curator, to the department to say, look, in spite of all the limitations that are applicable financially, we would need special assistance to be able to get at least things one. At the level of our previous board and the then ministry, there were some steps, but they have not yet been concluded. So, but we're not waiting for that. We've made this step of separating some of these things to be responsible under the financial controller. AG was concerned that adequate reconciliation for assets and conditional grant expenditure on a monthly basis was not done, but was done at year end. And some of this was the reason for the many adjustments that had to be done when the statements were published. Now, some of this has to do with the fact that interest has to be calculated monthly, and sometimes there has to be monthly reconciliation of the assets. Now, to correct this, we bought a new asset management software. And there are some teething problems in its implementation, but there's good progress. It's not a 100% situation yet, I would say. And in relation to the monthly reconciliation of the other transactions, one of the things we've applied for funding to upgrade the accounting management software that we are using, so that it can get to a point where it gives us results in real time and minimizes the manual work. Because when these things are done manually, they result in a situation where we do get a backlog sometimes. And so this is the thing that we've been attending to. Then AG highlighted that the audit committee did not review the financial statements before submission on 31 May. And some of the errors were not detected. So it's difficult to check oneself, even if no wrongdoing is done or intended. But purely at the level of more eyes are better than one, and it is a difference between preparers and overseers. But because at the time when the board period had expired, and so because the statements are done in the April, May period, and some of the things we're hoping is that when the new council is appointed, part of the arrangement is going to be that the audit committee outlives the council term or other similar arrangements. But we know that our department is handling this matter. Segregation of duties to prevent fraudulent transactions and or asset misappropriation within revenue was felt not to be adequate. And at that time, the fraud prevention plan was not updated. There was, but it had last been updated in about 2005. And so AG was concerned about that this should be looked at again. The fraud prevention plan has since been updated. The segregation of duties, some work has been done about it, again, in shifting some functions from other officials to others. But in the context of the staffing capacity constraints we have, there are some limitations in the extent to which we do that. But practically, especially in the areas that involve revenue, where we rent out venues and make sure that different people handle different parts, that has been dealt with in that way. We think that in this period, we've learned tremendous important things about the value of reaching to other provinces. We've seen and learned things which is not known. We realize that we need to factor in more contextual information when we project how a project will go. Because we need to factor in more of the externalities that will influence a project. An example, a very easy example would be, at a certain point we would assume that we would get the shelving right when the building is sorted out. And the building would sometimes take longer to sort out, and the shelving would be needed earlier. And sometimes there's a special grant for the shelving and not necessarily for the building. And if you haven't factored that externality well enough, it results in that money sitting as a reserve and looking like it's not used and cannot be made available for other functions that are recurrent, like staffing. And we've also thought that there is not a campaign to deny us money, but there needs to be a relook at the funding formula for how institutions like us are funded, so that we don't fight with the DG all the time that we want more money, because 26 of us go and say the same thing. But I think there seems to be something more fundamental than each year's budget. But whether the funding formula is sorted out or not, we need to be recapitalized. We've looked at this thing from different angles. We've tried to multitask. We've tried to shift people from different functions. There are just too many things that cannot get resolved because of the baseline funding. Then we're really keen that on the timely appointment, especially of the professional staff, if somebody resigns, you need to advertise and appoint more quickly. But also, in terms of the council, we really keen on slightly more speed than has been evidenced before. And then, this thing of strengthening the alignment of strategy and budget. We've been to a treasurer workshop more recently that again showed the issue of performance plans, the delivery agreement, and the budget. And we learned we have a lot of things to improve. And this thing of ongoing attention to human capacity on the one hand and to infrastructure on the other. And as I mentioned earlier on, Veso much does need to get involved, and we do trust that our principals will attend to it with all the information that they would need and get from us. And the value of partnerships, they've really given us tremendous opportunities. In many of these places, we don't have to rent venues, we just have to make an agreement with the system museum in that place. They host our exhibition and we reach local people in those places. Next slide, please. After financial year end, things that would not be in this annual report, but a lot of their work was done in the run up. One of them is a traveling exhibition. And another one was the presence of museum exhibitions in support of the 2010 World Cup that was in the country. And the Mandela Luthuli exhibition proved very popular. It went to many, many areas of provinces. And then the work the museum did in the Mandela Day booth in the previous year and in last year, which included highlighting the importance of Mr. Kezweni in the life and story of Mr. Mandela, where he spent most of his time in the boarding school and later on in the university. And then this also gave positive media coverage and a better understanding of where we are and what we have. And the former minister, before her term ended, held a meeting at Mbezo, and we trust that some of the next steps would be to conclude the process that was started in that way. In concluding, we really plan to incorporate the recommendations of this committee to the strategy that we
we're working on, subject to budget. Because in the past, for example, a lot of the time our focus was increasing numbers that come to the pool. And it may look obvious to some people, but we came here and some members said, wait a minute, what about other provinces? And we always thought this must be a very expensive thing, or can't we, hey, we can open and run somewhere else. But hey, Parliament is important, let's raise this thing, what do we do about it? And eventually this thing of getting into partnership with other museums in other areas, in Limpopo, in Northern Bay, in Kraipan, in KZN, suddenly we were able to get to that place in response to the suggestions that come. We plan to continue to pursue the approved strategy, including the resource mobilization process, where we strengthen the capacity of the museum. Because we don't limit ourselves to the budget that is given by the department. We also get funding from lottery. We sometimes get funding from other government. Case in point is the government of Lower State Zone, which assisted us with the craft project. We plan to continue to strengthen governance and negotiate for the learnings we believe are relevant to our sector and institution. Because, as members have been saying, with your name, there can be no excuses. Things must just be right. And it's something that we are committed to, however easy or difficult it may be. And we plan to implement the Bunga upgrade in the financial year that is going to start. And this will also mean there will be a time when the Bunga building will be closed for the duration of the upgrade and will operate from Bunga at that time. Now, we're just waiting for all the things between us and the Department of Public Works to finalize so that a correct announcement about when exactly and how long can be made. And this is very, at a very advanced stage, we hope by now we would be negotiating to making that announcement. But it's an important thing going forward. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I know I might have gone over time, but I have to try as best as I think I understood what you needed to incorporate it into the report. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mpumlana, for the report, and I believe honourable members have gone through the details of the report, and I believe, as we're also clarifying, there are notes that we're taking. Honourable members, this is the opportunity to ask questions, comments, deliberations. CEO, you're not obliged to answer alone. I think you've got a lot of you've got your members of the as well, so they must answer. I think the person who must prepare more than anyone is a CFO from the look of things. And as I said, acting DG, now it's DG, if there's anything that you want to just say, you're welcome to come in, and the director there. I will note him. Starting from my right, I see Honorable Smale, Honorable Lodris, Osinomita, Mushwana, Honorable Mushwana, Honorable Moss. In that order, I'll be the last one. Okay, in that order.
Thank you, sir. I think when we talk about segregations of powers, ultimately the buck stops with you, CEO. We have got to understand that. And knowing that you've been in office somewhere around 2002-2003, I'm not sure about my facts, but let's say I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you've at least been there for about 5 years. And not understanding the role or the actions of what the supply chain management must be and how to understand the PFMA and is to me a great concern. And DG, I truly hope you listen very, very carefully. We are a government that is accountable, and where money must be spent, it's got to be spent efficiently and effectively and correctly. And the way of reporting has got to be reported correctly. And when audit, when AG reports comes through to us, and year by year onwards, the same mistakes are being done continuously, it raises the questions of the capabilities of people that function, that does that role. A question that I would also would like to go further on, it will link up to maybe the CFO has got to listen to me here, is it's your annual financial statement, subsection 15 that talks to staff costs. And I've noted that your temporary staff has gone up dramatically from, I would say, about 300% in the last financial year. It's a question that you might have to clarify to me why a big jump like that. I can see that your basic salaries or your permanent staff has maybe decreased, and I can understand that, and maybe that's the answer to that. But senior management emoluments, is that a very nice word for bonuses? I just would like to understand that, because I've seen that has jumped up very, very nicely. And if it is, then you can just rectify that. Your page 15, it talks about the schedule of human resource expenditure towards the museum. The 4918. Maybe you can just tell me which notes makes up 4918 in your annual financial statements, because I was trying to add those notes to that, and it just doesn't want to add up on that. CEO, you also touched on earlier in your presentation on the tour guides and the decline of the tour guides. And it worries me when we haven't got the proper skills that you say you go onto these skill programs to make sure that your tour guides are up and running and up to date, and that they've got, but you've still got a decline in tour guides. Why are your tour guides declining? Why? And I think the issue of the Imbezu issue and why the ICMP is not complete, I would like to see that, because you said it shouldn't go public and we've got to do it behind those closed doors and discussions. But I think at some point would like to discuss it around this table, and maybe a report in that regard. I would like to see that we just iron that issue out. If you're not capable of dissolving that issue, maybe you would need an intervention of this committee to solve that issue. I'll leave over to the other.
Thank you, Honorable Male. Now, can we kindly pass this to Honorable Lotso? Thank you, Chair. My colleague has touched on a few things that I would like to ask. CEO, in terms of the Auditor General's comments, what I'm worried about is the, I think, 4.1 million in travel expenses. Although that was now considered to be irregular in the explanations you gave, what I am worried about is, if one looks at your operating expenditure, is 20 million something. So this is more than 20% for traveling costs. And nowhere do we really see the return on that expenditure, because the report also is very vague in terms of what you've achieved. If you look at your achievements there, marketing is for the most not met 100%, without really giving reasons why it's not met.
And you alluded very briefly to why you had high traveling expenses, more council meetings, but you only had six. What exactly do you spend the money on? Because if you use more than 20% of your operating expenditure on travel expenses, there must be a reason for that. And we don't see the return on that. What I'm also worried about is the whole question of security. Mr. Mandela is an international icon, so obviously any items in that museum have very high value. But now you have unguided tours. How are the items protected? What exactly do you have in terms of security? I've read reports of people going to the museum when there's no one there, they just have access. How does that work? And in terms of your figures of visitors, how do you calculate visitors? How do you know it's diverse visitors if there's no one to take them around? How do you, is it a general guessing of how many people visited? What processes do you have in place there? Thank you, Chair. That's the moment.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to congratulate the CEO for this very comprehensive brief that she has given us this morning. A few other things have already been touched by my colleague there, but I see where they have got an issue and an action implemented. On their page 73, the reconciliation of the regular expenditure, there is irregular expenditure of about 8 million and then irregular expenditure condoned of 1.8 million. I can see the disciplinary step taken, but what I want to know is that is this condonation now, has it been actualized for that irregular expenditure? And one other thing, I keep on seeing this Inveso matter needs resolution. What is it that is that at Inveso that is not, you know, resolved? Is it finance? Is it the running of the branch or what is it? And I also see that there is need for timely appointment and capacitation of professional staff. You know, I get worried when at the same time you have got vacancies which are vacant. Are these vacancies due to lack of funding or lack of strategic planning? Because I think some of the problems that you encounter is because you don't have relevant or enough staff to staff your institution. And and then this issue of the tender process, that you say there was only two traveling agencies and one, I think, stopped working. You only had the work remaining with one traveling agency. Well, I don't know Mthatha myself, but I just want to find out that if you have to play a fair game of issuing tenders and get maybe one to three quotations, is there no other traveling agency that you could be, you know, you publish the tenders and then they bring the tenders together, then you have a broad selection to choose from. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to echo my voice to thank you for a report. You know, good to have a report, a written report, which is comprehensive as well. Then my first question will be on from your slide. I'll talk of page 5. I've numbered the page, so it's the fifth one. I want to talk on the guided versus the self-guided tours. Somebody spoke of that, but I want to talk to that and maybe my complaint to job creation in this country. In parliament, we have to account to the masses out there on job creation. And when we promised the country jobs, it was not like the 400 people who sit in parliament are going to do that. We were relying on businesses and people who are in museums like yourself. But now if you have guided and unguided, it's a worry to me as well, that you need to have these people employed so that we have people with a decent salary. It's life, you know, you need to earn somewhere. And if you decide that people can guide themselves, perhaps one of the reasons why we needed that museum was that people must get jobs, you know, jobs. They must be guided. And besides, if you want to know something about my house, I need to explain to you what's happening in the house. You don't self-guide yourself into my bedrooms and stuff, and you end up saying you know. It would be good to have people guiding and not self-guiding for the sake of this country and for job creation. And you talk of value. You have a value of reaching to other provinces, which I will agree with you. But do you have a plan with time frames? Because you see, Mandela is an icon to everybody, to the whole country. Everybody loves Mandela. It's very difficult to explain how people love Mandela, but across the color line, across the gender line, across the race line, we love Mandela because he liberated us, all of us. Whether from oppressing or being oppressed, he did that. And it would be important to have every province having something, because not everybody will be able to travel to Mthatha. Like my colleague said, she doesn't even know where this place is. So we would like to have some time frames. It's very serious that in all the provinces we are able to unpack that, so that the children know where they come from. Those who go to the most important book, it says that when you have left exile, you must teach your children and your grandchildren, so that they must not do things that will take them back there. So it's very important for people to understand what Mandela did. And the next question is, I think it's the assessment under governance. It's maybe on page 24 of this one, and in the book, which I forgot. I wouldn't know, my apologies. You, no, I spoke to that one. And then when you talk of your identity does not have an updated fraud prevention in place. I'm sure it's somewhere in page 36 of the book. If you know that there is no fraud prevention in place, we need to know what the way forward is. I mean, it's one thing to acknowledge that you don't know how to prevent this, but if you say that we have this in place to deal with this, unless if I did not get it very clearly, but we need a plan. We need to know what is it that are going to do to prevent fraud. And you also talked of limited funds, which may be a frustrating issue. But then if you come up with a plan that will inform, a comprehensive plan, we want to be convinced here that you do have a comprehensive plan, yet, or still you don't get sufficient funding, so that maybe we need to come up with a plan as to what should be done, because this is very important. What you are doing is extremely vital. And if the funds, and actually when you talk of funds, you said most of the funds come from national government. We don't have an idea. There is no percentage. At least if you could say so much percent, so that we would understand what we are doing and what we are supposed to do if we have to add. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I so much to ask. Mine will be on the marketing program. Currently, we're talking about the international countries who are visiting the museum. But what about the South Africa people still in the nine provinces? And can you, CEO, provide us as a committee with those strategic plan to attract the visitors from all nine provinces? I think we start first at your home before you point fingers to other people.
You understand what I mean? Today, on the issue of partnership, I also want to stress out what the other members were saying, that this museum is not only about in the Eastern Cape. It's about also in the other provinces in our country. Make an example, say, in particular here in the Western Cape, I think that institute, the Museum of Nelson Mandela, I think they must outreach and form partnership, but also with Robben Island and also with where Mandela was in Victor First Field. I think that in Paarl, that area, so that we can learn our next generation where the struggle is coming from, the icon of South Africa. Coming to the human capacity, I think that is the one critical one. Without human capacity, you can't make progress, properly progress. I saw there was the three positions they advertised, but one of the crucial ones was not be confirmed. But somehow I read here in this report that the one that they saying was not be confirmed is the one they're reporting on the issue of the controlling financial methods of this entity. And then I think they must tell us really if this vacancy is really beautiful. But also say that they was asking or they was required an external service provider who must develop a job evaluation system for this entity. But also I want to know, did this happen? Because then that entity or that service provider, they're supposed to come up with a plan for the short term and for the long term. Because they can't speak every time when we call this entity and they're giving us the same reflection. And I also think we pay these people to do a proper job for us as a service provider to get for us those things in place. Lastly, the CEO is saying that the minister was appointing a non-executive council to oversee the strategy and policy evaluation for 3 years terms. I want to know when was this? Be appointed, this non-executive council be appointed by the minister. Saying that because that strategy and policy evaluation non-executive council is supposed also to account to the committee, not only to the minister and to National Treasury. So I want really to that we can really be informed about that information so that we be all clear in this house what is happening and getting that report, because it's for 3 years we must know what is in that report.
We don't want to be quoted or accused of saying what we never said. Thank you, honorable members. I will open again for another round, but I have a few questions as well. We are speaking about job creation in South Africa. You've got your new policies, your new growth path, and the president is emphasizing on job creation as we speak right now. Being biased to South Africa, is there any plan? Because I see most of the visitors on my research that I've done are from
from outside South Africa. You have about over 10,000 visitors who come from overseas. Honorable Lutrec says that there is no revenue that is coming back. It's just expense. There's no revenue that the museum is making. And if you go international, museums are part of job creation. They are part of what they generate. They generate the economy. Maybe as you plan, is it not time maybe to say that those who are not from South Africa, they must pay to come and visit the museum? Don't be offended, Honorable Smiley. We're making money. Is it not time? Because honestly, internationally, that's what you do. When I was in one country recently, if you were a local, you were paying 1 rand. I'm making an example. But if you are international, you pay 500 rand to go inside that museum. And I think it is not time that you review your free entry for non-South Africans. That's number one. Because but secondly, your educational capacity. I think I can see there are a lot of training that you provide. But are you providing these training for the residents of Kumu only, or the residents of where the museum is only, or is it broad? Maybe to, because this is a national museum, not a provincial museum. No. My colleagues have raised an issue that it seems everything is just surrounding Eastern Cape. There is nothing that talks about even partnerships with other provinces as well, to say that as you have tourists, market our place as well. I mean, many people at this point in time don't even know where they know about the museum. Honestly, have you been there, Honorable Osman?
Me? Actually, twice.
Oh, okay. Then I'm talking. Oh. No, I know he's very passionate about anything in Limpopo. That's why I'm shocked.
Number 76, that's
not. But secondly, you see, don't beat around the bush about this Mvezo issue.
Yeah.
Because this thing is on media. Media knows it more than us as honorable members.
Yeah.
I think just clarify us, speak the truth, what is really happening. Because you see, if you speak about principles, you are not sure which principles are you talking about. Are you talking about the minister? Or are you talking about Tata himself? Are you talking about Chief Mandela? Because the same decision that you take, even come back here to Parliament, and some of us, we have to approve things that we don't even know what is happening. Just be honest and tell us who is fighting for which land or which part of it. So that when, because members will be asked some of these questions and won't be able to answer. We are not sure what is happening. Tell us, and how is the department intervening on that issue? So we just need to know about that. My understanding is that to the term of the council expires, there's a new council that must be appointed. When is the time frame for that council? Because we need to know by when should they be appointed. Because you cannot operate without a council at this point in time. On the irregular expenditures, I think my honorable members will raise a lot of questions, and I think I'll just listen to the answers that will come. You are speaking about the Bunga prison to say that it must be upgraded and all that. But what about the area around it? Because you see, if the area, there's nothing that is done on it, it's not attractive. What is the plan just to attract the area around it? Because it's really not a pleasant sight. I mean, you come to the area, the surroundings of it are really not. So not only the building of Bunga, but what about the area around? And what is your partnership with the Eastern Cape government, especially when to the Department of Agriculture and Recreation, or the whole GP and the municipality as well? Because I believe some of the things that must be done by the municipality as well. The roads that was leading to the museum was actually in a bad state, but we hope that it has been repaired by now, because if you have a tourist, I mean, it will be discouraged, you get discouraged if you have to drive on a road like that. It's unlike hiking up a mountain to some kind of hill. It's a different situation. I think those are my questions for now, but we'll listen to the answers, and then honorable members will have another set of questions as follow-ups you are allowed to. Thank you. See you.
Thank you. Another chairperson and members, thank you for this opportunity. My colleagues will assist me with different elements of the questions. One of the, I just want to touch on some of the highlights. In relation to the supply chain management, the policy was revised and a new policy was approved by council and is being implemented, and most of it corrects some of the things that have been raised. There is indeed continuous reporting to the department. And the issue of timeliness of some of the information, the real-time data, was not always a question of knowledge, but more than a question of manual versus electronic system, which is why there is that request to upgrade the IT system we have. Now, Mr. Ludo, the CFO, is going to talk, Honorable Smale, about that analysis of the salaries between the different years. And then HR, Mr. Carmelo, is going to talk about the issue of the tour guides. I think it's been raised by different members. One is about why is there a decline and why is there this change and how is it exactly happened. Just on the face of it, the decline is not in capacity, it's in numbers. When we started off, everybody was a tour guide except the CEO and the secretary. So some of the people had to be trained into other disciplines over a number of years when you realize we're not getting more people. And so when you move from that into these disciplines like education and other things, that's where the decline comes in. But my colleagues will clarify. I think, therefore, you can start with the financial questions, and then Mr. Gamelu will come with the thing about the tour guides and their training.
Honorable members, I thank you very much for the opportunity. Firstly, the term emolument, in as far as the management is concerned, doesn't include bonuses. It's actually salary.
Why possibly a jump from the...
I'm sorry. Talking to the term emolument. Emolument, in as far as the management salaries are concerned, it's actually a term used in accounting. It actually means the total of whatever actually has gone to management, the total, including benefits. But in this case, it's only basic salaries, because management are actually on total costs, and there are no bonuses in there. The bonuses would have come when possibly there would have been some assessment in performance. That has not actually gone through. So it's not in the figure at all. To possibly explain the jump, there actually has been resignation in management and engagement. During that year under review, there was actually a resignation which was possibly early in the year by the executive assistant to the CEO, and the security manager, and we actually engaged again. We advertised and engaged a security manager together. In fact, a security manager and an executive assistant, and on top of that, the human resource manager, and those were actually done on possibly negotiated salaries, which were a little bit more than what was actually paid to the predecessors. Possibly that is the question or the question to answer, which was allocated to me by the CEO.
Thank you, Sir President and the honorable members. Talking about the tour guide, the museum has trained lots of tour guides, more especially the interns. Those students who are coming from the university doing tour, the tourism management. Currently, we have about 4 tour guide interns, which are also trained and developed by the museum. So even before we were in partnership with TEP, which is the tourism enterprise, yes. So we also did some training for their tour guide at the museum.
Okay, but I think in addition to what you said, manager, if you step back to when we were established, every good level higher and higher was tour guide. And then after some time, then the CEO was brought in to work with partners, develop the strategy of the business plan of the organization, which showed that you need a research department, you need a curatorial department, you need security, and a few other things. And they said particular skill requirements for you need marketing. And when it was clear that there's not going to be substantial money immediately to fill all those functions and implement them, then one of the things that was done was to take people to tour guides, train them in some of the areas. Sometimes it meant going through tertiary education or short courses. Now, as we speak, some of those people, except those who resigned or passed on, one is responsible for design and layout and graphic production. One is working in communications and public relations. One is busy with her master's. I think at that time she was having a diploma and is responsible for education. And one was a caretaker, is now an admin assistant and general. So what then happened is that people who were in the front line were gradually being moved into these services. One is responsible for the connections, has done various courses here and abroad, because we could not afford to compromise on those ones. And to deal with the fact that we might be delayed in getting staff to have to do the frontline work, we redesigned our new exhibition such that they allow you to walk around. But I would like Mr. Kakadi to talk very briefly about the security arrangements around the exhibitions and the self-guided tours, because also that was attended to as part of the arrangement. Can you come in on that?
Thanks, Sir President, and thanks to the honorable members for this opportunity. I just want to emphasize one issue. What we did also from the security department is that we have trained one woman from the security officer. That is trained as a tour guide. To emphasize that over the weekends when the other staff members are not there, when she's on duty, because we're opening on Saturday and Sunday, she's there to help with the tour guides in the museum from the security department. So that is strengthening up from the other department. The issues here, the question that was asked about unguided thoughts and how the security issues are addressed. Our security that we have in the museum is an integrated security. We have a control room in the museum where when the visitors are entering in the museum, they get recorded. If somebody sitting in the control room is monitoring the whole movement of the people. I've got cars that are moving all around into exhibitions. And also all our exhibitions that are into the glass panels, they've got a sensor, break. So there's no way that the person will remove that. And onto our door, all our existing doors to the outside, we are having sensometric issues that will detect. All our items are attached to, like, when you're in the shop, you want to steal something, you cannot go out because the sensors are being padded. to check that. So we have implemented all the security measures to ensuring that. And the other thing is that not all the gifts of Mr. Mandela are on display at one time. Most of them, we put them on a base in the area where strictly access is controlled. So not everybody is having access to that particular area. Only people are exposed to the kind of exhibition that are on display at that particular moment. And those particular ones are looked after. So on a 24-hour basis, we have an outside remote control that is linked up with alarm system to look on the security. We have 24-hour security on the premises, on both of our sites. And then the constant communication and supervision on top of that, as well as myself. And that is the issue that is addressing of the security. Coming to the question of how does the Bunga upgrade, how is it going to impact in terms of the area and that. What's happening currently with the Bunga upgrade is that initially we wanted to have, behind the museum there is an archive that is falling under the provincial department. We wanted to have that space. But based on the project planning and the time frame that we needed to execute the project, we then decided to work on the worst case scenario to say we will only work on the current space that we have, but simultaneously engaging the provincial as well as national public and the other departments within Mthatha, like your Home Affairs, your Justice Department and those things, to say behind the museum where the archives is sitting as well as that, can't we build up a multi-complex facilities that can be set amongst all these other departments to become government sector complexes with a lot of flooring, whereby the museum can have parking, because in Mthatha there's no problem of, it's a problem of parking and all those other exhibitions into those other things. So simultaneously as this project is ongoing for now to start in May, we are engaging that particular process with those mother bodies as well. So that particular progress is moving simultaneously there. And also within the KSD municipality, we're engaging them one time to time again. We have a Nelson Mandela prison that they're currently doing there. There are certain areas like the National Park, the park in Mthatha, the water in Sulu Dam that is in Mthatha, there are some couple of areas there to make sure that the street in front of Owen Street is going to become like a prison. So it will enhance in terms of job creation, like members alluded to here, that you'll have smaller stores there. And then the people will be able to walk on the present and can be able to display their art craft that they are doing on that particular the particular issue there of the or the Bunga upgrade.
Thank you very much. Now, another question about the expenses and
generally,
we have been trying to meet in various committees of agriculture, and I know that this is also part of some of the outreach
was done. But let's give Ms. Michelle a look, because she's an accountant and she looks at the numbers all the time on the conference.
Thank you, Chair, and the members. The travel and accommodation expense relates to, as the CEO said, relates to the travel and accommodation for the council members. And there were more than 13 council meetings. For example, we had about 13 audit committee meetings only. As I was saying, the travel and accommodation relates to the travel for the council members. Hence, I said we had more than 13 council meetings during this time. For example, we had about 13 audit committee meetings. So that led us to having that expenditure that much. And then we have the travel again for the programs department. That is the core business. That is our core business department, where they were traveling to install the exhibitions to these various places, as mentioned in our report. We have the youth camps that took place during that time. So they consumed a lot of money. We have the security manager traveling again, organizing this Kunga and Kunu upgrade that is going to take place. We have the staff, that is the staff of the museum, traveling to various workshops in different destinations. We also have the travel by the Itemba, that is the Kunu production craft.
Okay, you said before, at this graphic level, that illustrates some of the, but obviously one can print down where Ms. Mandela, for example, can tell us now or at another time, how many like of the youth chambers were there and where were they all coming from? And part of the logistics about the Jakarta is that the only place you can fly direct to is Johannesburg. And so almost always you must fly from Uganda, especially if you want to in and out. It's a lot of night driving unless you're going to make people overnight. So even if you have a delegation of board or whatever going to Jakarta, they have to miss London plus car hire plus accommodation almost all the time, generally. But I think let's just, without dwelling too much on the matter, I don't know, Ms. Mandela, as you talk about the education and the outreach, can you also talk about the camp and the camp participants?
Thank you, Chairperson, the honorable members. Then I'll be answering the question, what do we mean our museum become relevant and also to be accessible to the people regardless of their location, whether in South Africa, as we believe that Nelson Mandela is an international icon. As Education Department and Outreach, we do answer that question. We do this by organizing, by developing, firstly, exhibitions. Also, by developing public programs, like education programs, we have camps, youth camps. We also have intellectual agendas, where we refer on seminars, symposiums, and colloquiums, as well as research. We do this through partnerships. Take for instance, if I talk about education camps, we make sure that we do invite all the provinces of South Africa, the 9 provinces, all are represented in our education program. Fortunately, we do have the accommodation facility where we run our programs annually in June. Because, for instance, I can mention some schools that from Gauteng, there were learners from Gauteng, like there were learners from Orlando West. If you go to Free State, there were learners from Sosele High School. If you go to KZN, there were learners from Stang High School. Go to Limpopo, there's back, you know, Bokomoso SSS. Yeah. Kiwiti SSS, like as I have mentioned, then you go to, because our target audiences are different. We target learners, we target students, we target adults, also target out of school youth in different programs that we are running. In terms of exhibitions, we also do develop out travel exhibitions, and we are very proud that we are accessible, but it's unfortunate the members didn't go to visit the exhibitions. Even in Cape Town, I can mention that we do the exhibitions. We're running the exhibitions. As CEO was talking, we've got partnerships. We do this with partnerships. For instance, we've got partnerships even outside of the country that we've got partners in. When CEO was mentioning of the international youth camp that we're running with the Germany, the Anne Frank House in Germany, where we usually brought students annually. In Germany. Even the 5 students that we brought to Germany are also all that are coming from different provinces, because it's 5 provinces, we rotate the provinces, so that we represent all the provinces. Another thing, we have also partnered with the British Council, where they connected with class, where they connected schools in England. The schools, like the primary schools, the junior secondary schools, and the high schools, they connect to schools in England. With the teachers, they do travels to England, to Mozambique, to Kenya, as we facilitated that program. In terms of our outreach program, because of the financial constraints that we have at the museum, sometimes we don't really go to all the provinces, we rotate the provinces. But in Western Cape, we did put up an exhibition at Victor Verster Prison, fortunately in Parliament, and fortunately in Mossel Bay. And also went to, because we also have partnerships with different municipalities, government departments, and also our sister organizations at the museums and heritage institutions. We also have our exhibition that is installed currently at Kraipan, that is the Rakow municipality in Northwest Province. Because as we plan that we want to be more accessible, in this year, as CEO was explaining, that there are funds that are not counted to this, to the that is the 2009 and 2010 financial end. But we have managed now to reach more than 9 provinces through our outreach programs with the assistance of the Department of Arts and Culture.
Thank you. Now, honorable members, you've asked about the status of the irregular expenditure condonement. That has been applied for. We are waiting a response. The position that I think honorable thing is this field or not, this relates to the supply chain management position. What happened is that we've made a request for, of course, we'd love all the positions to be filled. They are not filled because there's not enough money. But we had to then prioritize, say, which 5 do we really absolutely need urgently. So one of them was the supply chain management position, because it is quite an involved process. Now, what happened? It's not filled yet, but some of those functions, we give them over to the financial controller, which is now filled. And there had also been a long discussion about whether to fill that position or not. Because ourselves and our council have always been prudent about not getting overstaffing situation happening. The job evaluation exercise was done along with the performance management exercise using independent experts advising council. And part of the outcome of that was the adoption of a Patterson grading system, which is to be brought to the attention of the Minister and the Minister of Finance, so that as the Act requires, that becomes the approved remuneration system of the museum. The training and development, who benefits? Obviously, the first part has had to do to re-engineer the skills of the people inside the institution to fit the mandate. Couldn't fit and complain, this is the only talker. So these things that we said to try to do was part of that. But then activities where people offer training to largely members of the neighboring community. Now this has got to do with part of the policy framework that was explained to us about how legacy projects work. In spite of the fact that they are national, there are certain things they need to do in their immediate community. So I think that has been part of what has been influencing us, and genuine resource limitation. Lastly, in terms of audio, okay, I would like Ms. Chetani, our head of marketing, to talk briefly about how we calculate the visitors, and also the thing about the balance between domestic, local, and international. So are you...
Thank you very much for this opportunity to do this presentation.
Okay, what I would like to highlight just for starters. Okay, we are in the average of 46,000 visitors a year, and of course the financial year in question, then we have 39,000 visitors. In fact, out of the 39,000 visitors, it's not like it was only, you know, the day visitors and that visited, that is the Nelson Mandela Museum, that physically visited the Nelson Mandela Museum. You know, the figure doesn't include these other categories of visitors who visit these various exhibitions in the various provinces, and as well as Kumeza Mandela indicated that we even have an exhibition that is abroad. That those numbers are not included in the now, that is in this 39,000 that we're talking about, that is for the last financial year. And where basically the decline in those numbers, it was due to, you know, various factors. One of those factors was the closure of the Nelson Mandela Museum for a period of about 3 months, more especially the Bunga Building, because it has been one of the most popular sites. That is the Bunga Building. As well, in fact, as much as I would like to mention the fact that Kunu, yes, it has been developing gradually, basically, that is in phases. Of course, it has been popular, but it became more popular, that is, during the past year. And like any other business entity, more especially in the travel industry, then we had our peak seasons, and then we have our low seasons. The peak seasons traditionally are the period from March, that is April, May, June, more especially the learners, and then July, August, September, that is for the international visitors. Of course, we do use, you know, various tools targeting various audiences. I would like to mention Indaba, that is in fact the trade shows. We attend, we participate in trade shows in Indaba in particular, because it's the only international show that we are able to attend. That is normally held in Devon and annually. But there's one other thing that I'd like to highlight here is the fact of the brand, that is the name. So many people just heard about the Nelson Mandela Museum, even in broadcast television as well as print media. But so many people, I mean, this is just an example, have less heard about the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan Museum, which is located in BE. But I can tell you today, the number of inquiries that we get are about the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan Museum, which is based in PE, and the Nelson Mandela Museum. You know, the kind of programs that we're running, the number, that is in terms of the numbers and in terms of the content. But the museums that people, that they always remember, when you mention the name Nelson Mandela and mention the Nelson Mandela Museum, the places or the museums that people always remember is the museum in Soweto and then the museum in BE. I mean, what I'm trying here to highlight, you know, is the problem of that is the naming problem. It has been a problem. And then, even, you know, when we participate in these shows, then people would come, no, I've been to the museum. When we do a presentation about the museum, you see, no, I've been to the museum. I've been to Robin. I've been to Nelson Mandela Museum. Hey, have you been to the Eastern Cape? The Nelson Mandela Museum? No. Nelson Mandela Museum is the Eastern Cape. Yes, I've been to Port Elizabeth, to the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan Museum. But no, Nelson Mandela Museum in Mthatha, then people would not know. Whenever you mention the name Nelson Mandela Museum, they always, you know, think that, you know, it's about Soweto, that is the Mandela Museum in Soweto, Robben Island in Cape Town, or in PE. The Nelson Mandela Museum has got a very, very, is in a very difficult situation in terms of, that is the naming, that is the brand itself. And well, I can say to a certain extent, it's geographical location. You know, all our efforts, all our campaigns, unfortunately, instead of crediting us, you know, they credit, you know, these other institutions. But we know that is a challenge, but we are working very hard. We run a lot of campaigns. We have developed a sound relationship with media, with broadcast television, and in fact, all the media. But of course, we have had some challenges, as Mr. Mpumlane had indicated earlier, more especially the investor issue. You know, it has drawn a lot of negative publicity.
and you know the kind of what the negative publicity, its impact on anybody's mind. It has been our greatest challenge. Yes, within our marketing budget, we know for a fact that things that you are unable to implement, like for instance, you've never seen any advert, a television advert that is about Nelson Mandela Museum. Unfortunately, it's so expensive and it's very difficult for us to, you know, to afford that one. But through, you know, this kind of partnership, through our campaign, we manage, you know, to make true, that is, to the broadcast television. In terms of you know, of audiences, Marisa has a learner audiences. I would like to say, in fact, I'm proud to say, we're one of the leading museums, that is, in terms of visitorship, that is, learner audiences. In fact, even domestic audiences, I'm proud to say, we're one of the most visited museums. Like, for instance, if you look at our figure, we're doing 46,000, 49,000, because even, like I said, even this 39,000, if you look at this 39,000, you know, that number, unfortunately, it doesn't include in Kunu, when you talk about Kunu, that number doesn't include statistic events, because the Kunu so far is popular, you know, for events, for weddings and for conferencing. So that number, it excludes the numbers, that is the number of people, you know, who come for to attend those events.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chetani and honorable members. If we have not covered, we will come back, any of us, and clarify. There was the issue of the fraud prevention plan. The fraud prevention plan has been updated. So at that time it existed, but member AG was worried that it had last been updated a long time ago. And the issue about some of the partnerships, specifically the Western Cape, Robben Island Museum, we have a partnership, was exhibited on the Gateway, and I've mentioned Brackenstein, was exhibited in Mossel Bay and in George. And we do this in other provinces, and my colleagues were talking about it. Yes, now then there's the issue of the entrance fee and revenue generation. Very early on, the board that was in place took a decision not to charge entrance fee. And obviously, with this thing of interacting with stakeholders, this is an area that can be reviewed. And we're happy to hear this, because when later on is an accusation that will make it inaccessible by fees, would be able to say, no, you know what, the people's representatives backed this. So we didn't start it. But the issue of differentiated fees, it's also a national policy issue that tourism department and the portfolio committee have to keep guidance on, because it seems there's been generally a disinclination in that direction. But I think next week, the Portfolio Committee on Tourism is meeting, and hopefully one of the things that will arise is this one. A directly related one, which doesn't get talked about loud, there's a 1% levy, tourism levy, but no part of that goes to heritage institutions, and yet tourists are visiting heritage institutions, which might also talk to the funding formula at another time. So, yeah, that is Mvezo and Mvezo and Council. Mr. Vusutia Mandima or the DG will help us about the council, because the minister and the department deal with that. What happened with Mvezo is that on 11 February 2000, President Mandela and the then Minister of Arts and Culture and a number of other stakeholders, following as is usually done when a legacy project is established, work by steering committees in Kunu and Mvezo mainly, that involved provincial leadership, that involved traditional leaders, that involved business, was declared or promulgated into place one museum that has three sites. The one site was in Bunga, which was historically a government building. So there was no argument about that. Another site was a 5-hectare site in Kunu, which was identified in communication with the village people there and the chief to say, this land is earmarked for development. And so this museum thing you're talking about, whatever it is, it sounds like it's development. And if you say it's about tourism, you can do it there. This is 5 hectares. Now, what then happens, a reservation certificate is issued and a permission to occupy that particular piece of land. In Mvezo, there is a site that is believed to have been the birthplace of the former President Mandela. It included the ruins of that home and a number of other homesteads that neighbored it. Again, an area the size of 5 hectares was demarcated, inclusive of this. Now, it demonstrated in situ how a chief who is the father of our president at the turn of the century lived side by side with these people at that time. And it also demonstrated that however important you are, there's a price you pay for standing for the truth. Even popular as he is now, when it was difficult, he was abandoned and his home was allowed to go to ruin. And then it was believed that the potential for archaeological material that demonstrated what was happening there at that time. Now, it had been designated to be an open-air museum where that kind of interpretation would be done. There are many such sites all over the world, with pyramids and other kinds of things, and you tend to leave them as is, and then you develop next to them, and sometimes you reveal the layers by means of some archaeological process. And that's why I was linking it to the integrated conservation and management plan. That usually, also in terms of the National Heritage Resources Act and in terms of the National Environmental Management Act, sites that are bigger than 4,000 square meters, you go through environmental processes to be able to work on them. It's very frustrating sometimes for us who then have to develop and show something. And at the same time, you're aware that you don't want to interfere with the evidence, as it gets called in the profession. And this may have reflected not so well in many directions. And so part of the effort we did was to look for funding beyond the department and went to the National Lottery. And in our proposal to them was to look for funding for planning, because we knew whatever we do, if you don't have the plan, you don't touch. Part of why Robben Island sometimes is threatened with delisting has to do with, what is your conservation management plan ready, and is what you're doing in line with it or not. And we believe this is the kind of site that could become a World Heritage Site. And so that was the logic of it. But what Lottery did, they approved money to do the infrastructure and not the planning. And in the time that it was taking to get money for the planning, then the $8 million that gets discussed in the media has to do with that. The chairperson, Advocate Nebudala, has confirmed that it has never been transferred to the media. It's still at the lottery. But in that passage of time, there arose a situation where Honorable Mandela was crowned as chief and for the area of Mbeza. And part of his program of action was to reestablish the Great Place and the Mandela home. And the logical thing to do was to establish it at the place where the original home was. And the difficulty that was arising for us and for the situation was that if an area is designated for public use in the manner that one was, if then there has to be a residence that is quasi-private and quasi-public, because great places are private and public, depending which way to look at it, and have both elements.
the view at that time was, hey, ministry and department, this matter has got complications. This is the story we gave, all the different things that were happening as understood them. It needs attention because it's got many implications. But if a use is going to be changed from purely public to partly private, it might be important to reverse or adjust that original decision according to some administrative or legal or political means. And it's not for a CEO to reverse what the minister and the former president had done. And so there arose contestations as to whether that land does belong to the to a museum or the Department of Arts and Culture or not. The original household plus the surrounding one. And so part of the process, when you say our principals within our minister, because we've referred it up, say, look, please get this matter addressed somehow, taking into account all the various elements and not to have a confrontational situation. Because, of course, it's been put across the way that it has been in the media. And our general approach has been, we would not want to comment in the media and make it difficult then for our principals when they get chance to speak in detail with all the stakeholders to resolve this matter. And once it's resolved, for relations to become impossible. And our board took a decision that until all the related matters are resolved, it may be better to then not operate from that site. Because of the issue, does this belong to whom or does not, and not to have any confrontational situation based on. And part of the net effect was that it would then not be possible to take the funding and implement it in an area where at that time the board had decided there should not be operation. And so part of the issue is that, but I think I can ask Mr. Sola and my colleague to raise if there's any particular significant issue to deal with it. I know one of the last interventions that ever happened was the former minister, Honorable Chungwan, had a meeting there where some of these things were confirmed and they planned to put in place a team to deal with this thing. And I know the department has briefed the new minister. Well, I know he's no longer new, but there are many things. And so one of the things we look forward to is an opportunity for that thing to be dealt with. It's not an easy matter. But Mr. Suman, would you like to please add one or two things in relation to this?
I think in order to give that summary, if there is only one thing, that the state gave land to the museum, which is 5 hectares, and registered with the Department of Agriculture. And over time, while the museum was functioning in that particular land as an open-air museum, there has been an occupation of that land by the chief, who was installed as the chief of that area. So that is what the contestation is all about. That is the summary of it all. Thank you.
Okay, I said I promised to open a certain round of hands, and I think we've asked most of the questions. If there are any follow up, can you do a follow up? But I had one hand, Honorable Tori's hand was up. Oh, calibrate. I was going to pay me the longest. Honorable Story, I saw your hand up. Who also wants to go for another last round? Honorable Tukala, Mamshwana, Oshulwana. That's the last and the final one. Ndaze Mavunda. Okay. We'll go in that order. Mastori, Honorable was the second one? Eh, Moswana. Oh, Allah, sorry, Moswana. I think I also need to follow the CEO now. Honorable Chikala, Honorable Moswana, Honorable Mabunda, and Honorable in that order. Honorable Shiva, I'm following the three. Okay, you kindly tell them.
Thank you, Shepherd. Maybe let me make a comment first. Am I audible? Dallas Sabanya in particular. I hope I am audible.
Yeah, I just want to comment on what Mr. Kenny said here, yeah? Because it was interesting to me to have a precinct that would look like what you just presented here. I hope in your presentation of the strategic plan we'll have that if you are really serious, because you might have this good plan and it doesn't succeed. I hope you keep it up and make your interventions in having partnership with the local authority and the other people, because I think it's a good plan. I just wanted to ask about the staff development that is mentioned here. I realize that you didn't number your other presentation. That is ongoing. It's an ongoing program. To me, it's not enough just to say that. I just wanted someone to elaborate on that. What you have, what you aim to say and what you have done, because I suppose if you have this development, it means you must expect an upward mobility of people. A lot has been said about the exhibitions. I thought I would pose my question at the beginning. And I had Miss Mandela giving us that response, and it seemed the target is students. Because I was bothered, I wanted to ask how long do these exhibitions, when you install them, how long do they stay in that particular area? I'm just thinking of, you see, Utata is a, ukhona abantu abamazi ugqitha thina, old and young, and people who would like to know really about, if it's a legacy project, they want to see the exhibition. But if it is installed in an area where it is difficult for the previously disadvantaged population to reach that place, forever they will not know what has data done and all the other things. That's the reason why I wanted to know how long do you install the exhibition in a particular area. Does it benefit the community? That's what I wanted to know. Somebody raised a question about this analysis of current irregular expenditure on page 73. You know, I was coming from outside, I don't know. Whether it is the area that I'm concerned about. Now I'm concerned about the supply chain management policy here that is mentioned here. the quotations that you had, and now it comes back to say, but the point system was not followed by the businesses chosen are black owned and locally based. I don't know what does that mean. If you want to be compliant and all of a sudden you can, because it was not followed because the chosen are black owned and locally based. Maybe you can elaborate so that we understand exactly why. And this issue about short travel to close shops, and the museum did invite one travel agency based in Port Elizabeth. I just heard you talking about the previous speaker that Port Elizabeth is so popular, and Gauteng, especially Johannesburg. And the other thing is about page 75, where it speaks about the salary wages. I'm interested in understanding that it was 5 million and odd, and it's coming down now to 4. What is the reason for that? Because Dibona Band, they told you are all over Bafunimai. If now it's going down, it means something else. Maybe you can explain to us. Yes. Yeah, I think that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Masori, Honorable Minister.
Okokuqala mandi ndivumele tshe ukuba ikutsho ndikuncome into yokokuba noko siyifumene ipresentation esenza ukuba sibe nento yokuthetha namhlanje nokuxoxa nokubonisana. Yayitsho nje into yokuba siyayibulela ke loo nto. Ezinye zezinto ezimbalwa kukho laa mcimbi ukhe kwathethwa ngokuthiwa i-diverse public programs in place, ubeke enye yazo ekuthiwa yi-education program. Kungaba kukhona nenye mhlawumbi ongathi usincedise ukwenzela uba noko sihuqonde bhete lo mcimbi. Kukho ke nalaa mcimbi kuthiwa si-staff development, an ongoing program. What could be the major, three major or two major issues that are of importance for the staff development, so that you know we understand what the issues are. Again, in addition on what some of the honorable members have actually highlighted on Mvezo issue that is still not resolved, are there any measures to probably tackle that? The last one would be on managed by a full-time management team. One, what would be the size of that team? And how is their performance measured? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's a very short question. Actually, it arose from what was said in conclusion.
what causes the contestation? I mean, Madiba, the icon, we accept that iconship, if I may call it that. Now, is the museum personnel contesting that? I'm checking. Because if now the chief wants to come and stay, is he not a sherry? You come there, you listen and you are told about the Mandela legacy, but then you see a Mandela. To me, it would be fine. Who is contesting that? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Member. I know some people have got that last
Other issues has already been covered. Let me just talk about what is being in the slide here, whereby they talk about what we plan for 2009, 2010. Just a snippy on maybe let me set an example on the bulletin number one, where they are talking about the improved organizational capacity, better government, and unqualified audit. One can just simply ask, what are you envisaging thereafter? What do you want to say, so that we can be clear? Just in a snippy, I'm just citing that example in one the first bulletin. When we talk about this is something that you are planning for, if I correctly understand the caption, therefore, and also the itemization that you have put in there up to item number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, training and capacity building. And then secondly, also on the slide that talk about what you accomplished and something that you have not accomplished in the year under review. I may not raise it as a question, but should we be privileged as a committee by your honorable self just to tell us what do you mean by bulletin number 2, reaching other provinces? Much as I've understood the explanation by one of your colleagues, but coming to the Mother Earth, so that we understand exactly. For instance, the last but two, bulletin, when you talk about the new council not in place, this is something that we have accomplished or not accomplished, but now you are talking about the new council not in place. How do we reconcile the statement and the administration of the whole institution? Lastly, I'm just taking it for granted, and I'm generalizing it, and it should be taken, you know, in a way for us to understand and work together, not trying to hunt which from other people, you know, functionalities. But as an institution established by the Act, to be worked with public funds, I'm just summarizing. Up until when working with those public funds, and then you find out the audit opinion come out with something which is very common, of course, in various institutions and even departments and so on and so on. Like, for instance, in the irregular expenditure, which is very common. When we talk about, you know, not compliant with the supply chain management, what was it that make the institution not to look into this, so that it should not be something that people can talk about and talking about the irregular expenditure and so on and so on. And then when you make some, you know, in the there is a bulletin also talking about the tender processes not being followed. as an institution that knows that we're dealing with money from this category to that category, and this one will have to use it through the tender process, and this one we can do it because of 1, 2, 3, because it is under this category, and so on and so on. And not also the opinion, the audit opinion talking about not compliance with, you know, with the PFMA, all that we know that the financial aspects needed to be looked into. But as I've said, generally, it is not something that says it's a witch hunting, whether the funds were used correctly or not correctly. It's very common. But for interest sake, as an institution of its own, just make that explanation to us again. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chair. Mine is a very short one. I think it has been covered by Honorable Muswana. To me, the conflict that has to do with Mvezo, I think is something that if people are willing to resolve, it could be resolved, more especially when we talk of an icon like Mandela. You know, Eastern Cape government, together with the Portfolio Committee and the National Department, really can resolve that matter. I'm always taken aback to what the President Zuma has done at Muyeshe Village. I'm not sure what is it that is around Mvezo or Nkunu, whether there's any development there, because I think there should be development that will enhance the museum. My concern with this Mvezo theme where Mandela was born, that I think this committee and the department and the legislature of Eastern Cape should really take hands on it, even if it has to be taken to the president and say, we really need this thing to be developed. And then last, I just want to comment on what Honorable Mabunda has said. When you look at the audit committee meetings, of which I think the Auditor General has emphasized on it, that if there should be regular reports or internal reports before you take the report to the Auditor General and then you get a disclaimer. And you say 2 years ago there was that disclaimer, but the year ended 31st May, so it was an unqualified report. And when I look at this meeting on page 33, you know, there was a meeting of the Audit Committee on the 22nd of May, June, and then July. Then August, September, October, November, December. And then, January is too close. I just want to know that as of now, do you have strategies for a meeting that they don't take too long and 1 month so that you're able to capture what is it that does not comply with the rules of government and the auditor's report?
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I missed the first part of Honorable Story's input. I got it at the point where she was asking about staff development and the strategy thereof. The staff development issue is directly related also to the question the Honorable Member on my right raised. What we're trying to do there, some of our major emphasis is on the financial capacity and supply chain, project management, and conservation issues. That's what we try and dedicate. We don't have the opportunity to send people away full time, so they do part time and short courses. The target, yes, it's largely students and members of the public in general.
How long do the exhibitions stay in these areas? We prefer 6 months. But in Limpopo, they told us straight, it's going to be there for some time. We must make another plan. So, and we haven't really defined that yet. And the community benefit is largely in terms of the access to knowledge. But then what happens, enterprising people use it as opportunities for tourism, for selling things and all of that. The SCM policy and irregular expenditure, the no amount of explaining, okay, the context of why the suppliers, some were local and black, was that there had been direct questions and emphasis by the auditor in discussion that, look, this thing is very important because it government wants to ensure that part of its money helps persons with historical disadvantages, disabled persons, women and black people and local people. So if you have not used the point system, it's difficult to determine that objective. So no amount of answering it will solve it. We just need to apply the point system, which we have started to do. And the thing about the thresholds for tenders, we just have to implement that. There's no two ways about it. At the time, our understanding was different, but as I was showing that you're splitting the amount, but it doesn't cut the grade. It's not acceptable to the AG, it's not acceptable to the committee, and we have to shape in. But it's not just a question of dry legal compliance. It makes sense the way it's been explained. It doesn't matter how it made sense to us at the time when we were doing it. The issue about the diverse public programs, the education activities, the learning materials that are done is one example, the exhibitions is another, the seminars is another one, and the youth camps is another kind. And where we get the most diversity is the camps, because we work at schools in different provinces and they come and do interesting things. And occasionally, we've now introduced this thing of community arts. But that is in the new financial year. It resulted in the University of Pretoria pledging 5 aquataries because of that. Staff development I've talked about. Measures to deal with Mvezo. As I mentioned, this is a very important relationship to us. It has a way of adding huge value. And this is why we've been keen to say very less, except in the context of the discussions that must be done to resolve it and protect the relationships that are there and that have a potential to strengthen and for it to be done within the framework of the law. Now, the issue of the full-time management team side, you have a CEO and the chief financial officer, a senior manager for programs, a senior manager for marketing, senior manager for enterprise development is vacant. There's been financial issues, but we've finally advertised now. And then below that, you have a level of middle managers. So the top structure is the CEO and the three senior managers. The performance measurement, you remember, we mentioned that, but maybe we didn't dwell on this, but it's very important. Two service providers were commissioned by the board at different times. One, to develop the job evaluation exercise, which resulted in the adoption of a Peterson grading scheme, which must get ministerial approval and move away from the ad hoc system that was used when the institution was first established. The next thing that was done was also development of a performance management system that is aligned to the strategy and then that talks to what each manager must deliver. So that section where members were reading from saying done, not done, it flows directly from that performance management system on the basis of which then the assessments are done. Now, in the absence of a council, which was the situation for other times, independent experts were used to
do the assessment, but then it has to be referred for external moderation to the department. Honorable Mabunda asked about reaching other provinces. What exactly does this mean? Okay, for example, in the first stage, our exhibition was at the Bloemfontein Museum. It's going to move to
It has moved already
to Brandfort, and then it will be opened. In the Eastern Cape, other than where we are at, it is at the museum in PE, the Red Location Museum, which is in a township. In the Northwest, we have an exhibition as well, in a Kraipan. In Limpopo, we do have an exhibition as well. In KZN, jointly with the Thuli Museum, we have it there. So that is the way in which in Limpopo,
where is it currently?
Tulukwan. And then we'll signage at the airport. Now, meaning of the plans. Honorable Mabunda, when you say meaning of the plans, is it the plans for reaching out or? It was to get that, and then obviously there are the schools and the other museums that we've been working with. The tender processes, again, we have to get it right, and we didn't get it right earlier on. It doesn't matter how we're interpreting the numbers. We're busy changing over to that system. Even the travel situation, we're still rotating is not going to work. We're going to have to advertise and tender in full. And the council question, I think Mr. Ndima is going to deal with that. The audit committee is a committee of council. When the council is appointed, one of the first things they're going to choose is an audit committee. And then the quarterly meetings and any other meetings that will be needed. For example, during the audit, every week or every 2 weeks, there must be members of the audit committee who sit with the AG and us to review what has happened in that week continuously until the audit is finished.
Okay.
Thank
you, before I release the only country, can allow this comment to comment on the council.
Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, DG, let me start by acknowledging and confirming what the CEO has said with regard to the council, that it is not currently in place, but also to say that we have been given a tentative date for the inauguration of the council because all the processes have been done, but now it needs to be inaugurated. The date that has been given is the 2nd of March, which is next week, and then immediately after that we will do the induction process where we call on different expertise in terms of the law that governs the institution, the Public Finance Management Act, and the strategy of the department so that whatever they do it in accordance with all those processes. So I just wanted to highlight that, yes, it is true that the council is not yet in place, but we are getting there.
Oh, thank you for that response. Honorable members, we've exhausted our time with Nelson Mandela. We must just thank them for coming here, but I would also just want to firstly say that they must help. We should not get work with people with disabilities. We do not get anything from them. And strengthen the partnership with provinces and municipalities and other departments as well. On the issue of Mvezo, I think Honorable, she's going out. Silban has captured it correctly. I think we as a portfolio committee will meet with the department because it has got also political issues as well. So I think it's the best
just to continue, not to comment to media. That's from my side. Just say no comment. The principals are dealing with it because it seems it's a sensitive matter, and we, especially with the name of Honorable Mandela. I must say on the positive that I've seen many reports that the department is doing very well, even on Twitter programs. I've seen on the educational aspect, but I think the marketing department must just be more viable, because there are good things that we're doing. But I still maintain that I think the committee agrees with me on getting revenue for what, because remember, part of our economic growth is a heritage, is part of the economic contributors. I would not see any problem if we say that we pay in most countries where we go to, we pay. I do not see any problem from my side, because economically we want to achieve and create jobs. As you are saying that Ipunga must be Panageli Lungi, so you still need people that must be hired. You must have more staff complement as well. And I would like to see even partnership institutions even becoming stronger, especially on the issues of internship as well. You see, the more partnerships you make, the more revenue you can make on your side, and more assistance you can get, and more exposure. At this point, I just want to thank you, CEO, and thank everyone who was there. Now we are very kind to you and say we are very happy with what you presented in front of us. Now you understand when Parliament calls you, you are very clear what we want. It will not be at the end of the time. We won't meet us after 3 years again. Any time that we want to meet you, we'll meet you. And we can kindly release you now. We just need a few minutes with the department. I just want to go and ask Linda Pan. Thank you, Honorable Members. I won't keep you much longer. As we had raised our concerns last week about the department, we are happy that the acting DG is here. We are expecting the DG only, but I think we must thank you for coming. There are issues, just a few issues that we want to raise the committee. Number one is that when in the last portfolio committee meeting, we requested that in every meeting that we have, especially with these intern entities, one person must be represented from the department. We're not very concerned about levels, but I think now we'll take it higher. What we want to clarify is that when somebody is coming from the department, the person is going to give us clarity on where we don't get clarity from the entities. Because remember, you are the ones who you are granting funds for to these entities. So, but there will be a problem now if the same person from the department does not understand the role on what they want to come and do. And secondly, there was another entity that reported, when you asked them, why have you not appeared before Parliament? They said to us, the department said it's not necessary to come before Parliament when you have unqualified reports. Then I said, now that's a sort of image dent I must really face. Thirdly, some of the reports, when they give them, when they are wrong, they say they are advised by the department. You see, actually, that's why I brought you over here, so that you can hear it from us. So that tomorrow, when anything goes out, you see, there's media, and the media is not restricted to come to our meeting. So they will write anything, and we are not going to defend you, because we will be saying, that entity said, these are public funds, people are very interested. As I was outside, the Cape Times was already calling, want to know what is happening, unfortunately. You see, there's a lot of interest on whatever that is taking place. I thought this is very important that you come, so that, I don't know how we do handle it, department and why, but if people from the department come, they must just clarify us with, no, this is not the truth, this is how far we've granted, because we might not know the figures sometimes, you know, not to say that we don't know, but the report that we get is the report that we read. But as sometimes as they present the report, even the wrong things, then the department must give us clarity. Because some are very clear, the department is not supportive, they just gave us a grant, and that was it, we never got anything. I think the other members, I'll open to other members just to raise other things that we must raise with you. I know it's not we didn't call it formal, but I think these are pending issues that we must call, because they will harm us at the end of the day. Okay. Is anyone wants to raise anything more? Okay. Honorable Sori, noted. Badima Bunda, you are noted. Honorable Lotus, you are noted. Honorable Mishwana, you are noted. Okay, Master.
Okay. Thank you, Jefferson. One of the issues is what was communicated to us by the filming in
Foundation.
You know, honestly, they were very proud of this. They are working, everything is going to be, and they are compliant to international instruments and treaties. They have been communicating with the department. All the treaties that have been signed by the department, they are compliant with it. Now, this was worrying us, because these treaties they are talking about, they should come through us as Parliament. We should know what treaties are there. That's why we have a consent. We have had a problem, you know, in the previous years, and it was a little bit tough, and the relationship between the committees and the executive was becoming very much strained about the issues that came up, such as the executive signing treaties, international instruments, and making deals that Parliament has to come and rubber stamp, such as protocols. And we thought, really, we are improving on that. So we are saying to the department, if there are any treaties, especially on filming, we have a concern, a serious concern, because, you know, our country, we are, this South Africa, we are a baby, we are only 16 years old, and other countries, you know, are long in this, especially when it refers to IT issues and filming issues. If you sign treaties with countries that might have treaties that to us in South Africa are not pleasing, especially with our kids. We don't know what treaties are those. We needed to have an explanation from the department to come and discuss this with us, so that when we endorse anything as Parliament, we know what we are talking about. I think that is our concern. Thank you.
Honorable
Mine was just an emphasis on the fact that we separate, whereby when we meet with the entity, we find out people or officials from the department, when in their introduction, anyway,
they simply say, no, I'm here and so it's from the department of work. And I think that we are not questioning it, but in any way, the way the chairperson was published, those in the department, we were of the opinion that you are here when we call those entities or those institutions to come and talk to us. You are here to come and listen whether they are telling the truth or not. But if you take, for instance, obviously from the introduction side and say, now I'm here to support the CEO of this institution that is supposed to come and make a presentation before the committee, then it's another thing, another way around from our mind. No, we needed just that clarity as the chairperson indicated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is just something that I think the department must perhaps take into consideration when doing the induction with the new council. I was quite worried when I saw the expenses of the council and the audit committee, which I think is, and the value that they got for that money in terms of the kind of audit report we got, doesn't add up. So I think perhaps you should pay serious attention to the training and induction of these council members to give value for money.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to check if we do have an act. Like, I don't know if it makes sense. Department of Education is guided by the Education Act law. Do we have culture law? So that if we have it, we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you very much. Could we have? Yes, thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. I think, XCG, you've got what we really want. But just to further state on moving from what Honorable Lotrick said, that from what we see from this NMM, maybe raise it to minister, the council must be appointed as soon as possible. Really, if you can get it, they are trying their best, but I think at a certain level, there is just a lot of Siazenzela, we do what we want because there's no political guidance. I think it can that issue be speeded very quickly. We will have a serious challenge. Fortunately, here we have the DDG to deal with culture and heritage. We'll be doing an oversight. Most of our areas will be the heritage side. And we just feel that, as we're just talking informal, that the department is neglecting some of the sites. And this site was built by the department. I think that's one issue that we must just raise. But secondly, on my side, I've got a lot of proposals of places wanting to be heritage. Heritage sites. So we just need your advice on what we'll send them to you. Then you just give us a guide, because as a committee, we agreed on the other meeting that we must go and see these areas, because We must also get the history behind it, because if we are not careful, we'll find anything, everything is a site. Even your house will be a site, so who was staying here? But on the issues of legislation, I want to reiterate it again to say that the legislation, there were two bills that we spoke about. Can they kindly come to us as soon as possible? Because we don't want to be running around. A bill is not something that you just understand in 10 minutes. Because if you need our support as a committee, the bill, we'll need them. Honorable Mishwana, they are acts. I think we'll just make copies and then provide you on all the acts that we need and we understand. But lastly, there's a program that you told me about, the Friday program. You know, can you kindly get Parliament to support this program, like it supported the World Cup? We're supporting the cricket on Fridays. Magnificent Fridays. We'll support cricket. We must wear those. The green and gold. So for us to support cricket, can you also maybe make a request to the speaker's parliament about the program, so that we can get the
even to staff, to everybody, even to all legislatures as well, because it's a program, it's an initiative from the Arts and Culture side to promote a nation building. I think those are that all we wanted from your side, and please the image of your department will be tarnished if you don't act. Because these people, they are very clever. You know, I remember Uma Stora even said, okay, these people turn you with the mentality bus in Amakab. So, unfortunately, that's the band wrong. So, this is what we have. Even when you meet them, as well, these are the issues that we must bring up. Where there's public money, parliament, we can call you 5 times if you want, as long as you get clarity on what you want. I'll give you the opportunity to respond. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe just starting with the thanking the Honourable Member of Parliament by advising us to emphasize the issue of value for money to the councils that are going to be coming in soon. We'll definitely do that, but also Honourable Chairperson, we will actually ensure and facilitate that this council comes into existence. The Cultural Institutions Act, yes, we do have, we can actually make it available, but maybe not only the Cultural Institutions Act. We could just, do a package of all the acts that, that we use in the Department of Arts and Culture. In terms of heritage sites, the oversight on heritage sites, as well as the proposals, Chairperson, yes, we would like to help, even in terms of the processes and procedures that members of the public need to follow whenever they want certain sites to be declared, for instance, because we do have, we do have the legislation that makes provisions for that. But also we do have the institutional mechanism for that, like the South African Heritage Resources Agency, SARA, is the organization that can help a great deal in advising communities, individuals, in terms of what steps they need to take if they want their sites to be nominated or declared as heritage sites. So I think we can actually provide the necessary information there. I think I would like to stop there.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we appreciate the opportunity and honourable members that we have been given, and also we really appreciate this session. We also take note, Honourable Mabula, of the fact that when we come here, it's an extension of our oversight function to our institution, so that we can also get to know what they are doing. We acknowledge the fact that we are going to tighten that oversight function to our institution. But lastly, what Mr. Ndima is saying is that we will do the same thing we did with the Geographical Names Council, so that we go throughout the provinces and conduct workshops with communities on how to declare sites a heritage site. I hope he's got a budget for that. and lastly, Honourable Mam Usori, I would like to suggest that through you, Chair, you call us to make a presentation on all the cultural agreements. We sign agreements with a number of countries where throughout the world we have got agreements that we have signed and programs of cooperation that we've signed. So perhaps we need to present to you and make a presentation of what is it that we've got with what country and what have we done to implement that. I know, for instance, with France has requested that they want to have a cultural season in 2012, and we are engaging with them on that. So they want to showcase France for a period of about 3 to 4 months in 2012 here in South Africa, and that we would then take an opportunity the following year to go and showcase South Africa in France. So those types of agreements and treaties, as you say, we would like to have an opportunity to come and present them to you all of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
because I'm a chair, you get the privilege to get little notes. I'm told I must tell the department that the jazz festival is nearby. So members of the community are not only entitled to one, but to at least two tickets because we've got partners. So I will just forward the name to the department.
No, I'm not going to respond. She's not with your permission.
Okay.
As long as we are going to get parliamentary questions asking us how many people
I no, no, that one. Where we are beneficiaries, we keep quiet.
Yeah.
So I will just forward the names and the partners. Yeah, so if you just there's nothing much, members. Yes.
Please, Mama,
hand over to us to have the policy to declare heritage site, for instance. Does the department assist, or do you have a budget or a small budget where you can assist a community to declare? Because this is a heritage site. Definitely, it must comply to the, you know, to be called a heritage. You find the community has got a heritage site, but they don't have the funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to say that our statutory body, the South African Heritage Resources Agency, is the one that actually supports those processes. First and foremost, people must send applications, and then it's that particular institution then that has those processes.
Okay, thank you, HTTG. Thank you, CCC. Honorable members, we've just reached the end of the agenda, but before we start to go, I just want to give just a quick report about the issue of the oversight. Remember when I reported that we don't have money in the committee, and then the trip was costing us 190-something thousand. But because we have a fighting chair, I had to fight from 20,000 to 200,000. So we got it. The trip has been approved. It has to be signed. I made enemies around it, but unfortunately, that's it. What we'll do, just with the committee secretary, we'll sit and just look at the logistics. And SNPC, I think, because we want the involvement of the department, we'll just give you, because some of these are the sites that we have built, but also want to include programs. We don't want to visit. We just also want the communities about that cultural investing in culture to see how it works in those communities. So we'll give you all the details next week, but I had to fight. A question? Hey, just let me stroke his time. Okay. Members, on international trip, just leave it to me. I'll just do my wishy-washy ways, but we'll be going somewhere somehow. We'll see how we'll work it out. Don't worry. By this year, we would have gone maybe four times. Yeah, that's the advantage of having me here. I've made enemies there, but that's the report. So we moved it from the initial first week of March to the last week of March, so that you can attend your jazz and then we start. What I want us to do is I believe members have got the minutes, they have received them in their. The only thing is just to adopt the minutes of the meeting. I believe. Is there any mover? Oh, there's a mover in a second at the same time. Honorable members, next week we are meeting the National Arts Council and the Afrikaans Dal Museum. So you will be getting those presentations. The community secretary will ensure that we get them, and the meeting is at the end. Thank you.
At least it will help.
Okay, thank you.